This week's message, given by Pastor Stephen Yun at the Second Sunday United Methodist Church, March 26, 2023. The message is Finding Jesus as Our Strength, based on Psalm 69:16-29 and Matthew 26:36-42.
Let us pray. Loving gracious God, we want to listen to your words. Because your words feed our spirit and renew our soul. Your words are a path to our lives and lamp to our feet. So we lean into your words. As we listen to the words of Scripture, open our hearts and minds to hear your voice for our lives. Teach us your way as we hear the Scriptures. May the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So I grew up near the shore in the east coast of South Korea. As a little child, I was a daring and an adventurous one. One day, I jumped into the ocean on the beach in front of my house, and there were two problems with that action. First, it was a deep water at one of the drop-off points in the ocean with strong waves, which I had no idea. And the second was a bigger problem. I didn't know how to swim. Since I always played in the shallow water, I mistakenly thought that I was good at swimming. You know, it was a danger of mistaken belief, right? It was the first time I learned how it felt to be in the deep water. In the water that was over your head, and you felt like you were sinking deeper and deeper no matter what you do, no matter how much you paddled your arms and kick your legs, you couldn't touch the bottom. I honestly don't remember the whole detail of what happened afterward, but I can literally relate to the words of psalmist in the 69th Psalm, which was known as one of the David's poems. It is written, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depth where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters." You know, the metaphor of rising waters is often used in the Bible to symbolize danger, distress, and chaos that we experience in this world of brokenness. If you have been in such an overwhelming, dangerous situation, you would understand the sense of urgency that the psalmist communicates through these intense words of illustration. You know, it was a desperate cry for help. You know, says, "God, there's nothing I can do to get out of this desperate situation. Help me, deliver me. You are the only one who can save me." This is a prayer of surrender. Have you ever offered such a prayer to God in your life? Especially in Psalm 69, the psalmist, the poet, explains where this trouble is coming from and what's going on in his life. For the psalmist, the deep waters represent an experience of getting submerged in growing hatred and aggression from others, from the enemies. In verse 14, he mentions the deep waters again as he asking God to rescue him. He says, "Rescue me, O God, from the mire. Do not let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me, from the deep waters." Why would they hate him, though? In verse 4, the psalmist explains that there are those who hate him without a cause. You know, people hate other people for a variety of different reasons. But sometimes people hate others with no reason, for no reason. Of course, it's possible for us to hurt someone without knowing it. But if anyone constantly dislikes you and hates you for no apparent reason, oftentimes it may not actually have anything to do with you. It may be their own problem, whether it's an issue of bias, insecurity, jealousy, fear, or mistrust based on their past negative experiences. The truth is, haters are going to hate no matter what you do. When you feel sinking into deep waters, in other words, when you are hated and mistreated and wronged or falsely accused by others, how do you respond? Have you ever discerned God's way under those circumstances? Of course, we cannot control what the haters do and how they treat us, but we can still choose how we respond to their behaviors, and how do we respond to those circumstances. When you are hated and wronged by someone for no rightful reason, there are at least three options you can choose. First, you ignore it as if nothing happened. You just ignore it. Second, you fight back to take revenge and get even. I'm going to talk about each of these options later, but the third option is what I would like us to focus on this morning as we are digging into Psalm 69. Even if you fall asleep during my sermon, I hope you can remember this point. The point is, in Jesus we find the strength to face the deep waters, face our enemies in prayerful and faithful ways. In Jesus we find the strength to face the deep waters, our enemies, in faithful and prayerful ways. So what does it mean to face the deep waters, face our enemies in prayerful, faithful ways? Facing the deep waters means to acknowledge that you have been wronged and mistreated, and to have a clear view of the deep waters you are in. It sounds ironical and unreasonable, but one of the most frequent responses people make when they are wronged is to ignore it. Ignore it as if nothing happened and deny that you were wronged. Perhaps you may not know how to face the deep waters and how to deal with them, so you choose to ignore by denying what's really going on. You may choose this option out of fear that facing it may put you in more trouble. Maybe you're afraid of the possibility of breaking or terminating a relationship that you have, whether it's with a close friend of yours or family members or coworkers. Maybe the person is in the power of position that is hard to challenge. So you pretend that you didn't get hurt or wronged. You pretend that what they did had no negative impact on you, trying to settle for a false peace. As you ignore the deep waters by denial, you hope that they will somehow go away in the meantime, and, you know, sometimes that happens. You know, you hope that everything will go back to normal as you ignore it. But there's something about our human nature that wants to get even, seek revenge when we are done wrong. Our natural inclination is to pay back in whatever forms it takes. If you honestly look inside of your heart in the deep waters, you may find your heart simmering and burning with a growing sense of anger and revenge. In verse 10, the psalmist says, "When I poured myself out in prayer and fasting, all it got me was more contempt. When I put on a sad face, they treated me like a clown. And now drunks and gluttons make up drinking songs about me and gossip about me." You know, the psalmist doesn't deny but acknowledge the reality that the harm was done against him. And it helps you come up with a clear view of the deep water in which you are in. In verse 4, the psalmist says, those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs of my head. He's saying, you know, God, I've got more enemies than my hairs. And these enemies try to destroy me with lies. Do you see what the psalmist is dealing with here? The hair metaphor reveals that he feels trapped and surrounded by countless enemies who seek to crush him and falsely accuse him of wrongdoings. You know, in order to scorn him and bring him shame for something he has never done. Does this mean that he literally had this many enemies near him? It's possible in the context of the ancient society, especially given the fact that the psalmist is the king of the Israel, surrounded by so many enemies, internal and external. In our own context, though, the expression of psalmist also makes sense when we consider the power of assumptions. You know, when you realize that someone dislikes you or hates you, what's happening in your mind? You start wondering why, right? Did I do something wrong? Did I do something wrong to the person? Did I say something hurtful to the person? You would try to figure out what's cause the person to hate you. When you notice someone dislikes you or hates you, it's easy to go into a negative spiral, which put you in the mire of guilt and shame. Sometimes it can affect your reputation at work in your community. And at times it can, you know, strain mutual relationships, making things uncomfortable, regardless of whether the person is trying to turn others against you or not. This can lead you to make groundless assumptions, which in turn can cause you to act in ways that are not congruent with reality. You know, in reality, only a few people may dislike you, but you may feel as though everyone hates you and that nobody likes you. And this negative spiral can be detrimental to our emotional and spiritual well-being. But acknowledging that you have been wrong and not ignoring or denying the situation can help you to see the deep waters clearly, the deep waters that you're in. Now, acknowledging where you are leads you to face the deep waters prayerfully. Start with acknowledging that you have been wronged, then it leads you to face the deep waters prayerfully. You pour out your heart to God and ask God to bring you salvation, bring your enemies justice and vindication. This is what we see in Psalm 69 that we read this morning. In verse 16, which is the beginning of today's scripture reading, the psalmist says, if you could see the bulletin, it's available there, but imagine how the psalmist would pray to God while he feels like he's sinking deeper and deeper in the deep oceans. Answer me, Lord, out of goodness of your love. In your great mercy, turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in trouble. Come near and rescue me. Deliver me because of my enemies. You know, there are times in our lives when we realize our sins before God and ask for God's forgiveness. But there are other times when we honestly don't understand why we suffer. We feel like God is hiding his face in that situation. This is how the psalmist is feeling, and he is saying this to God honestly. Friends, when we come before God, sometimes we try to hide our feelings and thoughts, our honest feelings. What's really going on in our lives? We try to hide them from God. Sometimes we do not want to recognize our own pain and distress even before God, as though everything was okay. We don't come before God with our whole self. But in the gospel story we read this morning, what did Jesus do? He was at the Garden of Gethsemane, and he honestly shared with God his distress, his sorrow, his despair. You know, it was a day before his crucifixion. And his prayer was a form of lament. The lament refers to a passionate expression of grief or sorrow when it's expressed before God. Lament becomes a form of prayer. Some Christians think that to express lament in the face of suffering is to complain to God, which is an unfaithful act. But as biblical scholars note, lament is the art of complaining to God in faith. The lament is the art of complaining to God in faith. And there is a space in the Bible in our faith journey, you know, because God is big enough to hold those complaint, lament, what we are really going through in our lives. The lament is the art of complaining to God in faith because it is grounded on our deepest trust in God as our Savior. Laments in the Bible often use the Hebrew word hesed, which is a variously translated as steadfast love or loyalty. In Scripture, those who lament express their unshaken, unwavering trust in God. From Job to David to Jesus, the Bible tells us the lament was often the context of God's people of faith. You know, they cried out in their times of deep sorrow and distress. They did seek to listen to God's voice with their whole self. In Psalm 69, the psalmist pours out his heart to God. He expresses his genuine, honest feelings to God in the most sincere words. He doesn't hold back his deeply troubled heart from God. And he says, "You know how I'm scorned, disgraced, and shamed. All my enemies are before you. Scorn has broken my heart and has left me helpless. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, but I have found none. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst." Friends, when we are in trouble, whatever the trouble is, much of what we do oftentimes is a self-talk. Self-talk. You know, we talk to ourselves about what we should have done or what others should not have done. Sometimes it's necessary as part of our discerning process. And yet we miss something essential in that process, which is talking to God honestly, pouring our hearts to the Lord genuinely. Friends, are you facing your deep waters prayerfully these days? Are you pouring your heart to God in your sincere prayer? "Oh, Pastor, I prayed hard, but I got no response from God, so I gave up praying." Sometimes I hear these kind of responses from Christians. If this sounds like you, friends, I invite you to take this opportunity to grow in your prayer life and try new ways of praying to God. Perhaps your prayer is about asking God A and B and C. And what God wants from you is to become more like Jesus in your prayer. Not just pray at God, but pray to God, pouring out your heart to God honestly. And as you come to better understand the heart of God, you would understand what it means to say, "Not my will, but thy will be done." It's a process. Facing the deep waters prayerfully is an essential step to get there. Again, the Psalms teaches us how to pray to God honestly and faithfully. And the words of honesty are expressed not only to God, but also to the enemies. As you can see, the bulletin, the scripture passage from verse 22 through 29, we see the psalmist say these words of honesty about his enemies. says, may the table set before them become a snare. Pour out your wrath on them. Charge them with crime upon crime. And here is a counterpunch. Do not let them share in your salvation. May they be blotted out of the book of life and not be listed with the righteous. Wow, that's a strong words, right? Strong negative words. They're literally a cursing words. And this morning we all responded to these words by saying, thanks be to God, right? After the liturgist, Roberta read and said, this is the word of God for the people of God, we responded by saying, thanks be to God. You know, this is called the Vengeance Psalms. And there are many cases of this type of psalms in the Bible. Again, there is a space in the Bible for our dark emotions, poor emotions. I don't know if you have ever prayed for revenge. Anybody? Have you ever prayed for revenge? I hope you haven't. But there are times, you know. It's easy to want payback when we've been wronged and mistreated. And when you are mad and angry and hurt by someone, what's the first thing you do? Get even. You want to do get even. You want to pay back. But isn't that what God wants us to do? Isn't that what God wants us to do? It's our human inclination to get even and pay back. The more you think about it, the more you know that you didn't deserve what you got. So it's easy to act upon anger building, and you might justify revenge, to plot to hurt or embarrass the person who hurt you. As the movie director Alfred Hitchcock said, revenge seems to be sweet, but is it really? The bitterness and obsession to get even takes up a lot of our emotional energy. It makes you miss out on many great things God has planned for you. And when such a temptation rears its ugly head, what we should do is to do what Psalmist did, to do what our Lord Jesus Christ did. We should not shy away from our negative feelings, but put our feelings, even our darkest emotions, honestly before God. Sometimes sharing the state of the heart with God is the first step toward justice and healing. It may not gain us payback, but it will achieve something much greater. Again, it's a process. It's a part of healing process God initiates when we are harmed and wronged by others. Those of you might be wondering what happened after I jumped into the deep waters. Of course, I was almost drowned. I was crying for help, help, help. A friend of my father passing by and saw me, and he saved me. And afterward, he always talked to me that I'm the one who saved you, you know. Friends, God is the one who saves us and delivers us when we are passing through the deep waters. God's help is on the move, and we got to trust His time, His timing. We have to trust that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. When you pass through the deep waters, I want to encourage you to look to Jesus. You know, because He understands exactly what you're experiencing now and what you need to do. Ask for His strength to face the deep waters prayerfully and faithfully. Ask for His strength to pour out your heart to God honestly in prayer, so you won't repay anyone evil for evil. He will give you the strength to trust that the vengeance belongs to God and that God will take care and make things right in His time. We just have to trust that. And that's where the faith part comes in as we face the deep waters. Face the deep waters prayerfully and faithfully. Amen.